We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. You got me giggling now.
It's all for you. See, it's okay to make mistakes. I did that just for you, sister.
Don't ride the iPad, though.
Okay, it's not a broom, and I'm not a witch.
Thank God.
I know. Those days are behind me. I'm a new creature now, thank you, Lord.
That's right. And our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Lornell Hayes. How are you this morning?
I'm good.
I'm good, too. It's a beautiful day, except it's a little chilly. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Sure. Father, we thank you today for your great grace. And Lord, we thank you for who you are, that you are our creator. Father, I just thank you for the privilege, Lord, to speak truth. And Father, my prayer today would be that no heart is wounded, Lord, and that the scars of the past, Father, would not be in the way, but there would be an openness today, Lord, as we talk about after abortion support. And Lord, I just thank you that you send your Holy Spirit even now to do his work. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I like your title, After Abortion Support.
Yes. It's a big subject.
It is.
The day we live in. Mm-hmm. A lot of, a lot of dissonance over it. A lot of opinions. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that today. So we'll just see where this goes, Tina. I want to say that every woman's experience is unique, and what a lot of people don't realize, that there is some grief in this process. It's maybe not recognized as that, but some women feel relieved, and some women regret their decision right away. Some women have deep feelings of loss, and others may not feel much at all. I've talked to women who've had abortions, and a main theme that I've heard, which was a little bit surprising, these are their words, not mine, but they said, I was just into myself, didn't care about too much other you know, other things. I didn't care too much about that. I thought that was interesting that they recognize that. These are women who, you know, it's been a few years, they've been healed, but that was their anthem. So that's really amazing. It's common to feel many things all at once. The two things I want to talk about today are relief and anger. We're going to go there. But there's also sadness and hope that can exist, yeah, all at one time. And that sounds a little confusing, but it's also normal. If you had an abortion, as we're talking over the airways this morning, or you know that someone has, I do know several people that have, maybe you notice changes emotionally and physically and you wonder what brought about the change. Some women and men who have been involved in abortion decisions have feeling of sadness, loneliness, anger, or lack of interest in work, school, or even sex. Many women, no matter what they feel, find it helpful to talk about their abortion. And that's what we want to do at Heart to Heart, is offer support without judgment. And we just want everybody to be okay. April is a month of Abortion Awareness Month, but we do offer, it's a Bible study called Set Free and Forgiven, and it has a lot of things in there that are beneficial. I'm going to be sharing a few of those things today. One of the things I believe that happens is some women have such shame that they don't want to talk about this. It's just hidden away. And I think of Eve in the Bible, you mm-hmm. know, whenever the sin was committed, and it is that. She hid. She wanted to hide, and shame covered her. And it's because they do feel ashamed, because there's the fear of judgment. You know, I think all of us feel that when we do something that is contrary to mm-hmm. the ways of God. So, you know, just because if you've had an abortion and you haven't told your parents, your friends, or your significant other, that doesn't mean that you have to sort out all of these feelings alone. And in fact, it's always good to be able to have people close to you and to support you. And there is help. Our phone number is 580-243-2229, Heart to Heart. And we would like to help in your emotional healing. And you can call us there, as I said, 580-243-2229. And in doing that, you'll be connected with non-judgmental help and concern and support. And, you know, if you're not comfortable with being in your area, then we have other support outside the area as well. But we are networked with pregnancy care centers over Oklahoma, and it's something that they offer as well. So today, I want to talk about relief and denial. Both of those are in the picture, I think. We're all familiar with Luke 22:61-62. It's the story of Peter. And remember, he was so wanting not to deny Christ. And yet, the words that was spoken to him, he said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, and actually, that was the town crier, not an actual rooster. That's just a little Hebrew knowledge there. He said, you'll deny me three times. And Peter walked away out of the courtyard, crying bitterly. And what I love is the restoration story of that, because basically what Jesus said to him, Peter, when you come to your senses, come back and we'll talk. You know, that's the beauty of Christ, is he is a God of restoration. always, forever. So I want to talk about relief. It is defined as a feeling of both tension release and relaxation following a stressful or anxious event. It is the most common emotional reaction following an abortion, and that would be very stressful. I have seen women come into our center that, you know, are just stressed out about the fact that it's an unplanned pregnancy, scared spitless. They don't know what to do. So we always want to calm those fears. Abortion promises to relieve the anxiety and the stress associated with having a child. An abortion keeps the promise, but it leaves a woman with a new set of burdens after the fact. She has other issues that will accompany her. Relief following an abortion does not last forever. The realization of what abortion really is and what it's done to her unborn children can lead a woman into denial. So you can see the steps of grief that are starting to happen, because that's how we self-protect. We go into these places, and it's difficult. And first of all, people are told different things about, that's not a baby, it's a fetus, it's just a blob of tissue, it's this, it's that. The reality is, and we're going to look at that, and what the word says about it. She simply cannot accept the fact that she has ended her unborn baby's life. And so a wall of denial goes up. And that's a protection also. And she puts it up to cope with the reality of her decision. It's the act of declaring something was not true. So, you know, you can distance from that a little bit. So what I'm going to talk about this morning is very introspective, and I want you that are listening today to just have an open heart and take time to unpack the questions and thoughtfully answer them. And, you know, I always say this when I teach, that don't try to get everything I say. Just get what's speaking to you. Because, you know, we can really bombard our mind with a lot of things and miss the whole deal. So I want to talk about the biblical examples of relief and denial. Relief and denial are the ways of coping with a loss. They are also ways to respond to sin. After an abortion, a woman may feel relieved of the immediate pressure and consequences of doing the wrong thing, but soon she is faced with the new problem of doing the wrong thing. And she is trying to fix the wrong done. So I want to talk about some Bible characters in the following verses. And the question I want to propose this morning is, what pressures do you think that you were trying to relieve by choosing to sin, and how did that affect you afterwards? Eve, as we talked about in Genesis 3, 1 through 13, it was an internal pressure. Can you imagine living in the garden and all was peaceful and wonderful, and you make a decision to eat the fruit? And immediately they knew, you know, the disobedience. Disobedience is a big deal. And so what did Eve do, you know, in Scripture? She starts trying to explain to God why she did this and why she did that, justifying. And that really keeps us in that compulsive, addictive behavior cycle, to where we make excuses for what we do and we justify. But our justification is found in Christ, with really meeting the situation head on and being forgiven. That's where there's true peace. And then David in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. Can you imagine? I mean, he wants Bathsheba. So he has her husband Uriah killed. Sends him to the front line. And what did David do? Try to cover, you know, try to hide. The truth of the matter is, if he would have been in where the king should have been, he wouldn't have been where he was. So, wrong place, wrong time. And then we talked a little bit about Peter, and he was trying to relieve the denying the Lord, and we saw what his state was. He walked away bitterly and was upset about it. So let's see how these things affect abortion, how we can look at this. So here are some of the most common statements heard from a woman on the denial stage. Compare these statements with the Bible's response. You ever heard someone say, "I just terminated pregnancy, I didn't kill a baby"? Tina, would you read Psalms 139:13-16? While you're going there, here's some other things that we might hear. Abortion is legal, so how can it be wrong? And then the big debatable question, the moment when life begins has been debated for years. Philosophers and medical science cannot agree, so people must decide for themselves if abortion is right or wrong. Oh, well, we get into deciding our own selves mm-hmm. and become gods. Okay, let's go back to Psalms 139:13-16.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
You formed those words. It's clear, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a baby. Okay, what about Proverbs 14:12? You know, one of the big things I hear in the world today is, it's my body. Don't police my body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not your body. It's a baby. Okay, Proverbs 14:12.
There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death.
How true is that mm-hmm. in the decisions that we make? 1 Corinthians 1:20. Or we hear something like this. It happened so long ago. Why bring it up now? No one has to know what happened. Hiddenness. But, you know, those things that we sense and feel inside of us have a way of coming out. What does 1 Corinthians 1:20 tell us, Tina?
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?
There is a way that seems right unto man, mm-hmm. but the end thereof is death. Hebrews 4:13. It happened so long ago. Why bring it up now? No one has to know what happened. What does Hebrews 4:13 tell us?
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
So there's a place that we all must come to, that we must give account. People around me thought it was the right choice. They said it was the best decision I could make under their circumstances. But Galatians 1:10 tells us this: for now, do I persuade God or do I seek to please man? For if I please man, I would not be a bondservant to Christ. Mm-hmm. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered something I'd heard years ago about a bondservant. And these people were not people that were coerced and made to stay, but they were doing the will of God from their heart. And that's where we all need to come to, is just Not because we're made, not because someone says, but because we're doing the will of God. In Jeremiah 5:23, it says, For the people have a deficit and rebellious heart. But it goes on to say in Jeremiah 5:23, let us fear the Lord. And the word says that the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we can't set ourselves up as someone who knows everything as to what's best. And we see that relevant and prevalent in the world we're living in today. Some people, Tina, you were saying this earlier, how some people don't even believe the Word of God was, it was only written by man. But the Word says that it is the infallible Word of truth, inspired. And men did write it down, but it was by inspiration. It was things that were given. And that goes on today. We're still inspired by it and by its values. So what would you just say to someone who doesn't believe that God's word is the final authority? That kind of puts us all on the spot, doesn't it? Because we believe it. We truly believe it. In Psalms 139:13-16, it says, for you have formed my inward parts. And you know another thing today that I hear young people saying, I made this baby. Not so.
You were the tool that God used to bring that baby to earth.
Yes, you were, just as Mary. Because he said in Psalms 139, for you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's amazing. Marvelous are his works. And then in Jeremiah 1:4-5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. And he's talking to Jeremiah here, but that can be an example of what happens in the womb. He said, before you were born, I sanctified you in the womb. And then he goes on to say, and I've called you, and all the days of your life were written. So we can't just blot those out. In Isaiah 46:3, he says, I upheld your birth, carried you from the womb, even to old age. I am he, and I will carry you. He's involved in our life a lifetime. We're all familiar with the Hebrew midwives and how in the days when Moses was born, the Pharaoh had told the midwives to kill the baby boys and save the girls. Did they obey? No. Is there ever a time to obey God above man? Absolutely. So it was really cool, the story of how Moses' mother was very wise, and she made a little boat for Moses. She put him in it, and then she had her daughter stand afar off. And then Jehochabed came by, and Moses started crying in the bulrushes, and it touched her heart. And you know the story. She ended up taking him. That's kind of a true picture of ordained adoption, would you say? The mother could not raise that child for some reason. Well, because of the Pharaoh. But God had a plan for Moses' life, and he became a deliverer to a nation. He had to go through some stuff, and that he did, for sure.
how neat is it? To me, it's just so neat that Pharaoh ordered the deaths, but God brought that baby into his home.
Yes.
One of the babies that he ordered to die ends up in his very own home, being raised their way. That just, look at you, God.
Yeah.
Go, God.
He was a deliverer. And you remember the story, the end of the story that Moses got so mad about was he saw the oppression of the Hebrews, and he killed an Egyptian that day and then had to run for his life, you know. Spent time on the backside of the desert, but he learned a lot, didn't he, in that place. I want to just talk about some of the questions today that we might ask for those who have had an abortion to contemplate, just think about. And the first question I have is, what or who was causing you the most pressure before you chose an abortion? People are pressured into circumstances by a spouse, by a baby daddy, by a doctor, by parents. You know, one of the things that sticks out to me about Unplanned was that father who took his 15-year-old daughter to that abortion clinic, and she hemorrhaged to death, you know, pressured. Because, oh, it's going to ruin her life. Well, what he did took her life.
For me, whenever I got pregnant with my son, I had a stepdad. And when I found out, I was so excited. And I went to my mom's to share with my mom. And I was going to wait on my mom. You know, I was there. And he physically grabbed me and tried to get me in the vehicle to have an abortion. And I fought to get his arm. He had me in his clutches. He had a hold of me. And
forcing you.
Yeah, trying to. And I was able to get loose and run.
Good.
And now my son is in his 30s. And it's like sunshine to my day.
The saving grace of God. It's amazing. Another question. Was there anyone by whom you felt deceived in your abortion experience? These are valid questions. What societal pressures were at play when you had the abortion? I knew someone who was forced by her mom, you know, because she didn't want the stigma and the shame of having a child out of wedlock. They ended up getting married, but the marriage didn't last. But she had the abortion, and, you know, it wrecked her life, truly. I mean, to this day, she has things that go on. Can you remember a time when your conscience tried to tell you of the wrongness of abortion? How did you respond to that? Think of back to the days leading up to the abortion. What did you believe to be true about abortion at that time? Those are specific questions that we really need to look at. Thinking about the most common statements women take while they're in denial, which of those statements resonated the most with you? Are there any other statements you can remember telling yourself in order to deny the fact that an abortion ended your baby's life? you know, one of the things that this is really introspective, but I think it's important, is to really think about how many weeks pregnant you were at the time of your abortion. And then consider the pressure faced by both the pregnant woman and the midwives in the situation that we're talking about in Exodus. The penalty for disobeying Pharaoh's command was death, but midwives were healers. They had in their power to deliver a baby or kill a baby. And so in this place where this midwife was, she chose life for Moses, even though it threatened her own life. Mm-hmm. And there's a place of trust that we can go to, isn't there? But what if the person doesn't have that place of trust? That makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. In order to fully recognize the humanity of your child, it's important to understand that his or her gestational age at the time of your abortion. And that may be a really, really hard thing to face, but that brings reality. We have to face our reality. And just know about those facts. This is true introspective things that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Here are some of the things that, in facing the facts, understanding and accepting the fact that the abortion ends a little life is the first step in grieving. There is a lot of grieving. And one of the things that I want to say about grieving, the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. As long as you're in denial, are you doing the mourning? Mm-mm. No. It doesn't say, blessed are those who grieve. It says, blessed are those who do the hard work of mourning, and those are healed. Facing the truth allows you to understand that your emotional response to abortion is a response to losing a child. That's what actually happened. And, you know, I just want to say this about women who have had miscarriages also. That can be a very difficult place, not intended, but that grieving process has to work. In a place of an abortion, the grief has been forbidden and hidden because people say, well, it was your choice. But regardless of the reason, you know, for the abortion, society just tells you to move on. Aren't we famous for that? Suck it up, buttercup. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of ideology, which is just absurd, honestly. So we could look introspectively and really look at why we had an abortion. What was it to relieve? What was the pressure that was being relieved? Or I had an abortion because I felt anxious about whatever. Y'all might can help me think of some things. I had an abortion because I was afraid that everybody around me would think.
Fear is probably the main driving force of it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing that can happen is one thing at telling myself to deny my loss. Just deny it. But, you know, honestly, what happens when we suppress that inside of us, it finds a way out through other means. Mm-hmm. One thing that I understand now that I didn't know then is, and we are different people at different stages of our life. I remember reading something someone wrote on Facebook. I loved it, and it says, I've forgiven my younger self. I just think that's precious. Mm-hmm. And because that's a reality. Mindsets and thoughts that we had for whatever the reason at that particular time But there's always redemption. Mm-hmm. I love saying that.
Now a good time for a prayer request.